Okay, welcome to episode 87 of Geeks of the Square Table. I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
Adam.
Joshua.
Draven.
J. Jonah Jesse.
G-cubed.
G-squared.
And Just Heather will be joining us later. All right. So, earlier today, I walked in, y'all having a conversation about Toni Moore and Kirkman. And, of course, everybody knows they have a falling out, and... one of the gentlemen was saying that Toni Moore recently, and he brought Fear Agent. He was so happy that it wasn't anything Walking Dead. Yeah, I gotta imagine that Toni Moore has a lot more to do to creating the Walking Dead than people realize. You know, but yeah, and for those of you not familiar. He is the original artist for the first six issues. He had a lawsuit and got royalties off of the characters that he drew in the first six issues for the show. He should have been getting that in the first place. And that's not the only person that has sued them. The original company that did the first season of the show ended up having to sue AMC.
Really? I didn't know.
For a contract violation or whatever, because they took it away and did it in house after that. But
because they're like, we can make more money this way.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, that's, I mean, I think it's crazy that he wasn't getting those rights in the first place, just naturally, but alternately,
it's not really surprising.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, but he should have been in the first place. So it's good he's getting those now, because as you were saying earlier, it's like with an indie title like that, that he probably did have a lot to do with those character developments more than, like, say, I mean, if you're working for Marvel or DC, it's like those characters are pretty much developed and you just drawing a different costume for Batman if you're the artist half the time.
Even if he didn't, he drew them, and so what everyone thinks they look like is based on what he drew. If he didn't, even if Kirkman was like, this is exactly what it looks like, he still drew it.
So. He made a visual representation.
And of course, the Charlie that came in afterwards on issue 7, you know, based on that, although... There is a big change in art style.
Yeah,
Toni Moore is a very talented artist.
And I highly doubt that that's disputed.
That's usually it's a big enough difference that most people notice, and most people really like his art in the first one, and it takes them a while to get used to.
Yeah, it's a drastic change, I'd say. I remember when I read it, I was kind of like, wait, because I read it, like, those first issues in one of the big omnibus, actually.
Oh, okay.
I read those first issues. So I was like, alright, reading through, and what happened? Art's very different, you know, but, which is surprising.
Well, also, like, he didn't get all the character descriptions right. They got the names mixed up on some of the characters they handed them, like Amy and Andrea. They swapped faces in issue 7.
It's been so long since I've read it.
The thing is, Amy's dead, dies in the first trade, and Andrea lives on, but then he starts drawing her in issue 7. He starts drawing Amy instead of Andrea. Because he was just looking at, trying to go on.
Huh. Yeah, now I want to go back and read that, because it's like...
They even talk about it in one of the letter hacks, where somebody sent in a letter, asking about it. It's like, well, we hope no one would notice, because we didn't notice till after it was published.
That's pretty funny. That'd be pretty hard to do, go in, like, on a seventh issue, be like, new artist, be like, I kind of know what's up with this. It's like, I didn't make these characters.
So right, like, those first six issues came out over a year, too, so. And of course, at the time, you gotta think, Kirkman was blown up with Invincible, which later was dwarfed by The Walking Dead. Yeah, of course. But
I would say, unfortunately, dwarfed.
Yeah,
my opinion.
Oh, Invincible's definitely the better book.
Well, you know, there's a lot more. It's kind of, they're both like fanboy books. You know, it's
very much. So.
It's a zombie book for zombie fans, and versus a superhero book for superhero fans.
I just almost
there's
feel
just
like...
a lot more to deal, a lot more material to cover in the superhero world.
Yeah,
I also feel like The Walking Dead almost takes itself too seriously.
Yeah,
just like the tone of it, which I get it's a zombie apocalypse, but
yeah,
pretty serious. But
I mean, even like I know it's a big difference between the two, but I mean, if you're looking at The Walking Dead, and then you look at Zombieland, they at least decided, it's like, yeah, the zombie apocalypse is going on. Yes, we're always under the threat of death, but let's just have some fun and go into an Indian's tchotchke shop and just break everything.
I mean,
it's like
they have fun on The Walking Dead. They have fun talking to each other like this.
I'd rather see them just go into a store and just destroy everything.
Then when the camera's not on them, they speak with a British accent.
Well, the difference between The Walking Dead and Zombieland is Walking Dead kind of, like, it wasn't the beginning of the zombie fad, but it was nearer to the beginning than Zombieland was.
Well, I mean, really, it was boosted the resurgence.
Yeah.
So Zombieland came in a time where there was already a bunch of serious zombie books and zombie movies, so they're like, we're going to do this funny take. Whereas Walking Dead came at the beginning of that resurgence, so there was no need to do...
Well, I was going
to
say, I remember the 80s, was zombie movies.
I mean, the big resurgence right after the comics started and everything, and the TV show definitely made it a mainstream.
How much longer does it have?
That's
forever.
Yeah, that's kind of a question.
Yeah, it's a Kirkman book.
Yeah, I mean, as long forever. As there's
no, I mean the fad. How long does it?
The fad.
It runs out of. Nobody wants these zombies anymore.
I'm gonna move on to the next one.
Yeah, it's starting to go. But how long's it got to?
It's really starting to slow down.
But here's the thing, just because all the other stuff, a lot of everybody trying to cash in. What happens is with the fad, everybody tries to cash in. They put all this inferior product. A good zombie story will still.
Keep going.
Popular. Yeah. I mean, there will be, even when it's zombies are not popular and everybody hates them, if somebody comes out with a good story, people will still watch
but you it. Have the whole, story. But you have the majority of people who are watching it because it's the now fad. That's the way most people are.
Yeah.
When it goes away, they'll go the next thing.
Yeah, it's always like, ooh, what's the new bandwagon we need to jump on? They jump on it and wait till
10 more years to get past Twilight.
Yeah. They always hop on the bandwagon. They're like, we're going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off, and then they find a new ride to hop on until that wheel falls off.
So all right. Well, so good example of that, you said Twilight. Around that time, like, Let the Right One In came out, which, even though there is a huge, like, waterfall of vampire things coming out, and people were kind of just like, whatever, Let the Right One comes out, great movie, doesn't matter.
What was it about?
It was a vampire movie. It was actually it was a foreign film.
I think it's Swedish.
Yeah, it's Swedish. And they made an American version called Let Me In.
I watched that one.
That one I haven't watched. I hear it's pretty on par with the other one.
It's really good. Unless you know it's about a vampire, up until about halfway through the movie, you're still trying to guess.
Yeah, which I would say that's a good movie. Like, it's regardless of being vampire or not, I think it's a fantastic film, and that's just...
Right.
I mean, that's the point.
That's my point exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
If it's a good story, it can still find its home.
It's going to find its audience, but it won't find the broader audience.
I'll talk to you later. I'll let you know.
I think the broader audience with
it actually has more trouble during the height of the popularity because
it's saturated.
People will dismiss it just because.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just another, Especially an independent story or something like that, you know.
See, and I'd rather see that.
Now, as far as TV audience, I think TV audiences can be kept going for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I mean...
That goes without saying.
The Walking Dead has shown...
Yeah, it'll take
no
years.
No sign of waning.
And on the same token, comic audiences can, too.
To right, I mean...
Yeah, it's the same kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it's episodic.
Yeah.
Hell, there was, six seasons of Lost, and that show, it kept going pretty strong there, even though I thought it got very boring after the second season.
Well,
I never even watched a single episode just because I thought the premise was stupid.
My problem with Lost was it was on a TV show. If Lost would have came out on Netflix, it probably would have been the greatest show ever.
Yeah, because you could watch it all.
Right. You could. I watched the first three seasons on DVD, and it was just blow my mind. I'm like, that's great. Tried to watch it on TV, didn't make it at all.
Yeah, that's what happened in the first two seasons. I was like, this is cool. Third season, I'm going to go eat a sandwich or something.
I tried watching the first season and the whole plane crash, there's people stranded on an island. I was like, I didn't really want to watch it. And then when they started talking about the different weird things start happening, I was like, it's gone too far from what originally they said it was going to be. So I didn't watch it.
Now, speaking of people crashing on an island, there's a new Survivor-type TV show.
The Island?
Called The Island. It's hosted by Bear Gillis. There's no actual prize.
Grills,
whatever.
Gillis would have been a better last name, because Bear Grylls is just a ridiculous name in general.
But you remember it, though. That's the whole point.
Yeah. No, apparently you don't remember it.
This is the first time anybody's ever corrected me on it.
But it just sounds like an animal having a cookout in the middle of the woods.
All right, so, but anyway, yeah, they just threw like 12 people on an island to see if they could survive for 30 days. They have a radio, so they can lifelight somebody out.
Do these people actually sign up for this? Or
apparently so. Okay, now here's the thing.
They sign up for it.
Black bag.
Okay, now, and 4 out of the 12 are cameramen.
Yeah, that's what they do for a living.
They were, one of them was the trauma sergeant, and he has a radio, and if he thinks anyone's about to die, he can call them out.
And one of them,
they have an emergency like snake bite kit.
Yeah, and one of them's an Iraq war veteran.
Other than that, that sounds terrible.
I would not want to be on an island.
Other than something biting you with venom, you could survive pretty easily on an island.
Well, right.
Fire's not that hard to make. Well, they teach kids doing cups.
Provided
down.
You can find a fresh water source.
You can make your own, as long as you make a fire.
Yeah, fire gets
Okay, so that was
Bear
like
Grylls the, showed you could get some cup and let the sun look at it and you could drink it later.
Well, technically, you can piss a cup and drink it right away.
Yeah, but he said that if you let it evaporate over into another cup, it's not one of those you can, because you can drink your piss, what, 3-4 times?
Yeah, because it's a
problem.
Yeah, because of the salt.
But that
content.
Actually takes all that out and purifies it.
Yeah, if you distill it pretty much, like.
Well, yeah. Well, okay.
All right,
problem. Like,
recycling at its finest.
Like, okay.
At its most
we
efficient.
All have an inner fanboy that goes, oh, I would do this or I would do that.
It's like, yeah, I can do
that. I know that, okay,
that you would
they're on an island and that green coconuts contain a Gatorade-like substance.
A life-giving substance.
You know, but none of them apparently figured that shit out. But also, the guy they found water. The guy tested, oh yeah, it's good water. But it was an inlet.
Yeah.
Not a stream.
It's where animals come to drink and do their business.
Oh my God. Boiling salt water.
Yeah.
All they're doing is just leaving a bunch of salt. It's making the water worse.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, well, they thought it was fresh water. But if their dude was
in the military, he has to know simple survival skills.
If the dude has a tongue.
Yeah, if you're in basic military, you learn basic survival skills, but you don't like learn survival skills like commandos.
He was in Cub Scouts.
Their Iraq vet has been a long time since he was out in the military.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He is a chunky dude. but the end of the first episode, they have somebody who goes into heat stroke and has to get pulled out. He's like dry heaving and while convulsing and shit.
And he's the one who just flat out tasted the water in that inlet without boiling
it. No, it was one of the cameramen.
All right, well, either way, but one of them, yeah, just tasted it without boiling it down first. It's just like, look, I don't go camping, but at least I know not to do that.
Well, you know? No, he was just trying to taste it to see if it was fresh water.
Not just taking like a big gulp of it, but like it's water.
So, but he
oh, my God.
The scary part, I always like these kinds of shows so that maybe I'll learn something. But they always turn out, I always get burned because they tend out to be just drama shows.
They're all drama shows.
It's drama and it's tropical.
Even when you watch Bear Grylls show about him being dropped off in a place, it's drama. Yeah. He'll show you these little survival skill things, but then every now and then he'll get caught staying at a hotel.
The best one of those was just.
That's why they canceled his show originally.
Really?
He was supposed to be out in the middle of nowhere showing you how to survive, and then the paparazzi caught him at a hotel. Him and his camera crew.
There was this guy a while back called Survivor Man.
Oh, yeah.
His show was just him with his camera.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, like him with his camera that he keeps on like a stick.
Yeah,
like
he didn't have
he's got a selfie stick.
Yeah,
I saw that one.
That one was pretty. It seemed
like he's just trying to find Bigfoot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that one's more realistic. But.
Yeah, he's chasing Bigfoot now.
How's that?
Do you think any of those idiots that actually go and search for Bigfoot have ever realized that chances are the sounds that they hear out in the woods are other idiots looking for Bigfoot?
I mean, it's kind of like cowboys. They know they can sell the sounds and the poops and the footprints.
Here's the thing. This idiot thinks Bigfoot is real. Do I say that Bigfoot's not real? I don't know. I've never met him, so I don't know. Could there be things like Bigfoot we've never found? Yes, because we're constantly finding new species.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, is there a possibility that there is some descendant or some version of ape that we have yet to discover? Sure.
Yeah.
Amazon's a
Did somebody have sex with a monkey and make Bigfoot? Probably.
Michael Jackson.
Is that thing running around North America? Probably not.
Yeah.
All right. But Amazon, given enough nuclear disasters, who knows?
All right, look, I'm just going to take it back.
So basically, you're on the thought that Godzilla could possibly happen one day.
Yeah. All right. Well,
or King Kong with
nuclear disasters. I'm of the thought there's a secret government lab trying to develop all this shit.
Look, from the premise of a sci-fi standpoint, all right, in a Doctor Who from the Peter Capaldi era now, they had an episode where he's talking about, there are certain animals that have perfected certain skills. Like one has perfect offense, one has perfect defense, and then one has, why is there no such thing as
sports?
Yeah, there's no such thing as
one has spiral.
Well, real great at lacrosse.
One could get arrested like a lot of people in FIFA today. Did you not hear about that?
No.
This is America, sir.
It was all over Sports Center. Soccer, or to the rest of the world, football.
Yeah. What happened?
Scandal where nine top executives in FIFA were arrested around the world today for conspiracy, taking millions of dollars. Where they were supposed to be giving it to these smaller countries to make soccer fields.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
It doesn't surprise me. The problem was they were running it through American banks.
And that doesn't surprise me either.
But they were tracking it this whole time. They had to wait till they were in a country that we could extradite them here.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're talking about an organization that has a worse human rights record than most of them.
FIFA is one of the most corrupt organizations.
Yeah, I thought y'all heard about it. It was everywhere this morning.
It's awful, but I still love me some soccer.
I can't watch soccer. I can't watch it.
Saturday at the fields, they have tons of soccer.
I used to work third shift.
Parents might beat you up.
I used to work third shift with a lot of people from other countries, and they would watch soccer all night long. And nothing would happen until the last couple minutes. And I mean literally nothing. They kick at this person, kick this person. Nobody's trying to score a goal at all the entire game.
They're trying to score the whole time.
They were not trying to score.
It's like chess.
It's like high school. They're always trying to score, but it rarely happens.
I just like
they never got it anywhere. They would never get it anywhere near like somebody's going to kick it into the goal.
I mean, were you watching American soccer? Because that's what happens in American soccer.
Oh no, it's
soccer.
Not American soccer.
It was
African soccer.
I just like watching the news after the soccer game, so I can watch the riots that happen when their team loses.
The riots are the fun part.
Yeah.
No, especially if it has to do anything with Ireland. They're constantly, whether they win or lose, they riot.
Yeah, so it's not too far off from here.
Yeah.
I mean, but football fans here.
Rugby is a fun game to watch, though.
Rugby is a fun game.
Rugby is really fun.
I'm still a soccer fan through and through.
Have you ever watched rugby?
Yeah, I have. It's just,
it's like the brutality of football with no pads.
Yeah, I mean, soccer has a fair share of that, too.
Okay, you say no prads, I'll give you that. But
no prads?
Yeah, no prads.
soccer has a fair share of flopping.
The brutality of football, yeah, I mean, you know, they're wearing a lot of battle armor.
That's what I'm saying, though. You take that hard hit, but with no pads on.
Getting slide tackle sucks, though.
Yeah, slide tackles suck.
Not fun.
In soccer, the back of the leg. There's so much flopping. I mean, I've literally seen a guy run past the guy. All you see is his hair move, and the guy jumps down like he just knocked the crap out of him.
Yeah, but see...
Was he French?
I mean, that happens in... Yeah.
Actually, it was the Manchester United.
Well, Man U sucks, yeah. So I can see that. But yeah, with soccer, I mean... But that can be said in any sport. I mean, I've heard of, like, football players be like... It's like, diagnosed with, like, it's like, a bruised shoulder. It's like, yeah... You're a football player. You're going to have bruises. Keep playing.
Yeah, but a bruise and a bruised shoulder is completely different.
I mean, I've...
Because if you think about a bruise, it's basically a hemorrhage.
Yeah, yeah.
And if under your shoulder is hemorrhaging, they have to go in there and let that out before it swells too much. It could pop your shoulder out of place just doing that.
Oh, yeah. Hell, Bear Bryant, I think back when he played for Tennessee, hell, he played an entire game with a broken leg.
They used to wear leather hats. I understand.
His finger had coming off.
Yeah.
And he played a whole game.
Had the glove on.
He took his glove off. He's like, oh,
finger,
my God.
His finger got cut off. Had the glove on. Didn't realize it because he scored a touchdown. Didn't realize until he got sidelined, took the glove off, and his finger was still in the glove.
In case y'all are unaware... Awesome. They have access to really good drugs as a sports doctor.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes a lot of those people get jacked up so much, they barely realize they're in a stadium.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, I mean, you can say football has gotten too handsy, and in most of it, it has. But we've also realized we've also realized how bad a lot of these guys end up when their career's over with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's not they really end up, I mean, you look at them and half of them can't even speak anymore.
Yeah, multiple concussions or can do that to you.
You know, or can barely move.
Right. Like, I mean, Troy Aikman, you know, had, what, like 9 major concussions? And now he's like the host. He's like,
you look at Steve.
He's
Young.
Probably like 2 concussions away from Tyson.
Hell, look at Joe Montana. I mean, yeah. I mean, hell, he's beat half to death.
Look at Steve Young. He got knocked out of the game because of concussions. He had like 6 concussions in 1 season, and he had to retire.
But didn't they make that rule a couple years back about like helmet to helmet collisions?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it still happens.
Oh yeah.
And here's the thing, they talk about receivers, they talk about quarterbacks. What they don't talk about is the linemen that you see their helmets after the game and chunks are missing from their helmets because every single play it's helmet to helmet.
Yeah, I mean their entire job is to run to another game.
Yeah, exactly. Just scrapes and chunks missing and it's like it's like no wonder they spend so much on equipment. Hell, they have to buy new helmets practically every game.
Well, with the concussion survey they did over the last years, they said that's why a lot of parents aren't putting their kids into football until they're like in their teenage years, because doctors are saying that up until age 12, their brain development can be slowed playing football. Wait till after that, and it's not as bad.
Chunk like football.
Yeah, especially in Texas, they're like, "No, my kid will be playing when he's 7 or 8 years old." They don't care down
in
Texas.
Well, that's why I haven't put my son Hunter into football yet. He's starting next year. He's 12 now. He's starting in 7th grade. He's my height at 12 years old.
Yeah.
Football coach been begging him to play, but they can't play till 7th grade. They won't let 6th graders play because of they're saying certain age limit, that's where we're going to start.
And plus your body doesn't really stop fully developing until age 18.
Yeah.
Even then, it still keeps going.
Yeah.
But mainly, they were saying...
Barely any.
The main thing that they came out of that was that the major brain development is before age 12.
Yeah, true.
Well it's been like for a long time.
You know what?
They've always said it's easier to learn a second language and stuff like that before you turn 13.
Well, one of my main issues, like when it comes, like there's one major reason why I don't watch football. It takes too bloody long. I remember when I was a kid, a football game would last an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Okay, but you have commercials.
That's what I'm saying. Now it's almost like every football game on TV is 3 hours long.
They are 3 hours long. Every football game on TV is 3 hours long.
Yeah, but why? Well, it doesn't need to be 3 hours long.
Well, here's the thing. Live sports is the only place where people actually watch commercials nowadays.
Yeah, pretty much everyone else just goes and watches Netflix or
DVR.
DVR, just let it go. I mean,
that's about the only thing. It's something like a 90% of the advertising is seen during live sports.
But you got to go with the game itself is an hour. You have all the timeouts. You have halftime.
You have the up to 30 seconds between plays.
So you're going to have that time.
Yeah, that's
going to last longer than an hour.
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
and they do have commercial timeouts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been at a live game several times. They take a 5 minute timeout. If there hasn't been enough timeouts during a quarter, they take a commercial timeout.
They do that in basketball.
That's one thing I like about soccer. It's like 45 minute half nonstop. Then you get halftime. Then you get another 45 minutes, and that's the game. It's like,
but that's my problem. It's 45 minutes of watching
of straight
slow
skill and action.
Not much action.
Yeah, but some of those soccer games, like some of those players, I've seen them on TV.
There's too much passing.
I would say there's not enough in other sports.
There is just as much passing in hockey. Okay.
Yeah. I don't watch hockey either. I know for a fact there are very skilled players in soccer. I have seen them.
Yeah.
They are really good.
And they can
I respect their skills too.
And I do. Here's the thing. But those are the people that you know once that ball gets to them, they're going to score or try to score every time it gets to them. And they don't.
But what about quitting?
They don't.
Yeah.
These crazy guys running around with a broom between their legs. Some of them carrying bats. You got to respect
them. My biggest problem with Quidditch is the fact that it doesn't matter how many times you score with the ball. You just got to catch the snitch. And game's over, you win. Worst team ever. And as long as you have Harry Potter on your team, you're going to win.
If you score 16 times and they don't score at all and they catch the snitch.
Yeah, but really, 16 times? You're going to score 16 times.
If their seeker sucks.
That is your guys with the batter gun.
This took
a turn. I hit somebody in the head while nobody's looking.
I'm for it.
Yeah, if you
that's what we need. More bats in professional sports.
Yeah.
There is bats in one sport. The problem is when
they drop them.
Have you seen it when they throw them at somebody?
Yes.
They had no protection at all. None.
I'm telling you. How much more exciting would it be if somebody was charged to the plate with a baseball bat, yeah, going for a home run? Yeah, he's got the catcher there.
Or like
run. You run like you're jousting anyway.
Or like right before the first baseman's about to catch you, you just take the bat and hit it right back in the outfield.
Didn't they do that in some movie? Wasn't there some movie they did that? Somebody ran with the bat the entire time and like hit the catcher in the balls with it.
I think it was one of the major leagues.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe. I was like, it had to have been major.
I'm just waiting for basketball to be a thing.
Well, like one
I could play basketball.
Well, yeah, but it was made for normal people like us.
Yeah, for people with absolutely no skill,
no hitters. You know, somebody charged the plate, and he, you know, he played the like last three innings with a busted nose. You know, but they,
I've also seen some pitchers beam people in the head, and no matter what's how big that helmet you got on, as hard as they throwing that ball, it's going to hurt really bad.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well have them wear motorcycle helmets, because honestly, that's the only helmet I see stopping a ball to the head. Because
you can tell,
like, not hurting.
I don't really watch baseball that much. I play it. It's fun to play. It's not really that fun to watch.
I don't mind watching it.
Yeah, live. Anything live is fun.
Yeah.
I can go to a hockey game and watch it live and be fine. I go to a soccer game, watch it live. It's the interaction with the other fans is fun.
Yeah.
But you can tell when pitchers mean to hit somebody, they're throwing it near as hard as they could. Because otherwise, those people would not get up.
Yeah, there's no way they'd
get up. So there's hardly ever an oops, it came out the wrong way. No. You meant to hit them because you didn't throw it that hard. Because you would have broken something.
Yeah, or just flat out
kill somebody.
Pretty much anything at 90 miles an hour.
It's going to kill you.
It's going to break.
Right, some of those somebody can chuck a ball 100 miles an hour. I'm not going to run at them if there's anything remotely
Exactly.
Yeah, but if
you've got to watch out that Vaseline they keep under their hat.
Yeah, but you know what? If there's some of these players, they know they get thrown at purposely.
Oh, yeah.
I would not be wearing that baseball helmet. I'd wear something a lot more sturdy.
I don't throw it at your head, though. Yeah, they throw it at your arm. They throw it at your side. That's permanent damage no matter where they hit you.
Yeah.
Now you say that. I have seen them where it's clearly deliberately beats the body upside the head. Especially if they charge the mound.
Yeah, but it's usually I'm throwing it at your head. You know it's coming. You really need to get out of the way. I mean, if you basically have a warning from the pitcher, it's coming at your head.
Yeah, but those helmets are not approved by any kind of regulation. Yeah. Those things need to be DOT regulated.
They don't throw that first ball at your head. They throw that first ball for you to jump back. The second ball, that first ball is a warning. It's like a warning shot. That second one's coming towards your head. That's what that means.
But you know what? If you're required,
someone in the head.
There's etiquette. I'm telling you, it's coming.
But look, if you're on a motorcycle and you're required by law to wear a helmet that's rated for a 50-mile-an-hour crash,
you may not have to here in Tennessee for too long.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying though is, if you're required to wear a 50-mile-an-hour crash-tested helmet, why shouldn't you have to wear that same style helmet in baseball where you could possibly get hit in the head with 90-mile-an-hour fastballs?
Here's my thing with motorcycle helmets. Let it be up to their own choice.
Why are we spending?
But if you say the exact same thing about people and seatbelts then.
Well, seatbelts.
I think children are the
only ones who should be required
the thing
by law.
Yeah,
seatbelts.
Yeah, because I remember back in the day when I was a kid, my dad never wore a seatbelt either.
But if you don't wear a seatbelt in the car, you can kind of become a human pinball in a
In the state of Tennessee, if you're over 18, you can ride in the back seat without wearing a seatbelt.
Really?
Yeah. Because you have a soft cushion in front of you to hit.
If you're in the front seat, you have to wear it, but in the back seat, as long as you're 18 and over.
All right. So, and here's the thing with seatbelts.
Like how you can be in a truck bed.
If you're in a collision,
when I was a kid, we'd stand up.
Yeah,
and you can.
Or ride on the tailgate.
It's still legal to ride in a truck bed.
I don't know what's wrong with people.
Especially if you're only going 35. If you're only going 35 miles an hour, why can't you sit on the back of a tailgate?
I don't care if you're going 50 miles an hour. My dad would zoom down the street. I would be standing up in the back of his truck.
Exactly.
I survived.
Or sitting
my dad used to have a step side truck. I rode on the side of that.
Exactly.
Hey, or sitting on the wheel well in the back.
Exactly.
Hey. I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, you know, and as a teen, I saw Teen Wolf. I attempted that.
You did. Everybody tries it once.
All right, now, Larry, what was
I tried to go in 10 miles an hour. I wasn't going to try any faster than that.
Now, Larry, what was your gripe about motorcycle helmets?
I'm just saying, it should be up to the people's choice. Why are we wasting government regulation on helmets?
Yeah. Because all right, now look.
Because, A, all right, I suggest wearing a helmet.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
If you don't want to wear a helmet and you do something crazy,
that's on you.
That's Darwinism.
Yeah.
And either way, if you're riding a motorcycle, you're not going to stop backing up or you're riding a helmet, wearing a helmet or not.
And look, before the helmet that I have now, the one that I had before that was not a DOT helmet, and I had been stopped by cops here in Sumner County before. All right, I know we're in Davidson. All right, my bad.
You got stopped by a cop?
Yeah.
I have never in my life seen a cop stop a motorcycle.
Well, I got stopped. Not ever. But he just gave me a warning, but he never said anything about my helmet, and it was not DOT.
Because he probably didn't know.
It was not DOT regulated. Yeah, exactly.
Was he a motorcycle cop?
There was no DOT sticker on the back of it.
Who cares?
You have to have a sticker on the back off. Of it? You have to have a sticker on the back of your helmet?
Yeah, no.
Doesn't that mess up the design you have on your helmet?
No, you're supposed to have a DOT sticker on the back of your helmet.
It'll say DOT, and it'll have an oval circle around
How easy is it to fake it?
You can buy it.
Yeah, you can buy a DOT sticker, a fake sticker.
Then what's the point?
I know,
what's
exactly.
What's the point?
I think what it is cops, whether it's a DOT helmet or not, as long as you're wearing something that's harder than a baseball cap to cover your head, I think that they're just like, yeah, we're good with that.
Now, the real problem, a lot of people don't like helmets as just because of the heat.
And they're uncomfortable sometimes.
And it just messes up your hair so bad. When you take that helmet off, you got helmet hair. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's why you have the hair helmet.
All right, now look. I will say this from a motorcycle rider's perspective. I prefer to wear a helmet. Now, when I lived down in Florida, there were times where I wasn't wearing a helmet when I was riding around. I'll vouch on that one, okay? But up here, because it's the law, I do wear a helmet.
Law was repealed, would you wear a helmet?
Yeah, I'd probably still want to, but there would maybe be certain times, like if it was like late at night and there was no one around, you know, on the back roads, and I just wanted to go ride.
Yeah, but what does that matter that you're going to wreck?
Probably too.
Huh?
What does anything have to do with you wrecking or not? Because the helmet's for your protection.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. It's just one of those things where I just
late at night.
If they regulate anything on what you're wearing riding a motorcycle, they should put a law against the idiots wearing flip flops and shorts.
Yes,
I've seen that more than once.
Yes.
Oh no, no, Larry. I swear to God, Daytona Beach, right down International Speedway Boulevard, where the where the Daytona Speed Race Track is.
That's all
the road that passes right by it. I'm not kidding when I say this. I actually saw a guy riding a Harley Davidson in board shorts, tank top, flip flops, and a cowboy hat. I am not making
was
that up.
Was he an older gentleman or was he a younger guy?
He was like a middle aged guy.
Okay.
And I saw that, and
he
I was
lived
like,
long enough to have that right then.
I mean, I literally almost wrecked because I kept turning around wanted to make sure I didn't hallucinate what I saw.
Segue.
Thank God.
Awkward segue. Right.
What are you reading?
This is just preview, but I've been reading Secret Wars and Convergence. And I kind of have to grade Convergence as a really bad grade. Mm-hmm. I got to give it a D.
Convergence sucks.
It's like
I would even give it a D.
There's a reason why I'm giving it a D. Two reasons.
Uh-oh.
One, they actually said in it was either 6 or 7 that it's just another crisis, which is exactly what it is. So they said it. They may not call it that, but that's what they called it. So they actually admitted to it. The other one was the fact that
If they put Shitty Crisis on the title,
I would have.
I told you.
But the other thing is, I would have bought it.
The other reason why I give it a D rather than an F is the use of Dick Grayson throughout it.
I mean, I like the fact that they used Dick Grayson as kind of like the narrator and stuff.
But otherwise, I would have given it an F.
It's totally overwritten.
It's horrible. It's
totally
really
overwritten.
Bad.
The filled with editorial mistakes.
He's just but it's those.
But it's those two things. It's those two things that kept me giving an F. Just because.
I will say
you admit it's a crisis.
I will say for the most part, it has decent art. But that's
most
it.
Of the way through it, you say it's not a crisis, like all the rest of them. But then, like you finally just one little panel, it's like the other crisis. That's it. That's the only time they even mentioned it. But they actually.
He was telling me on the way here. Everybody else is fighting, but as soon as our world gets here, we're all just like, let's just push it back through the portal.
That's what Superman. Because
let's go back.
The main DC universe is not even a part of it until like book 7.
Yeah.
The next to last one. And the first thing it is the world's coming through. Superman looks at it and goes, we'll just push it back through the hole. Yeah.
Just push it.
Yeah.
Push it real
good. Sorry. It's bad.
I hate you, Larry.
So, the highlights are, it's another shitty crisis.
Yes. That's the highlight of an entire event. It's another shitty crisis.
It's another shitty crisis. They use Dick all the way through it, and Superman just pushes it.
Superman just pushes it. That's
there you go.
That's it. That's the only reason why, that's three reasons why I don't get an F. Other than that. But... on Secret Wars.
That's the best description of.
Here's the thing. Also, if you were here on Free Comic Book Day, they had a free comic book called Divergence. Which
I
was
pick it up.
Post,
Divergence was just an ad for...
It was
you know,
post Convergence. Nothing has changed in the New 52 comic
universe. They just took New 52 off the...
That's the only thing. What's been going on in Batman is still going
now
on.
It's
What's been going on in Superman is still going on.
Well, yeah.
Nothing changed. So what was the
it's
whole point?
Well, no, the whole Middle point age. Is that they're... I still think what they're going for is they're saying, hey, the things that we messed up really bad in New 52, we're going to do away with
you
that.
You haven't
so
seen the preview of what's coming up, have you?
No, I haven't. But see, the idea is solid where they're saying, hey, the things... The things that we did right, we're going to keep those. The rest of those, we're going to try again because obviously we failed miserably.
Oh my God, they're fixing to fail worse.
It's
getting even worse after this. If you see the preview book, oh my God, Batman is so bad. It's so horrible.
You don't like bunny ears?
No. Chappie?
Well, is Coppola still
writing
it? We've
already discussed this.
Then I'm fine.
Well, it's not, Snyder's writing.
I mean, Snyder, if it's still Snyder,
they'll be around for at least another year.
Yeah, I mean, then I'll still
now,
read it.
Secret Wars, on the other hand?
Secret Wars has been great.
Secret Wars has been really good, and they haven't even barely started it. And it's been good.
Yeah, I mean,
just the comics that come up
pretty
with been
universal.
Good.
What
the
I've
difference,
heard about both of them is
the difference between Secret War and Convergence, though, is Convergence is just a piece of shit that DC threw up there to distract us for 2 months while they move, and Secret Wars has been something they've been building up to
exactly
for 3 years.
You have Convergence. It was like, here's Convergence right in your face. This right here, they've been telling you about it in the comic books this whole time.
Yeah,
well, I'm going to wait till I get done with all the New 52 stuff that I want to read, and then I'll probably delve into.
It doesn't matter. It has. I'm telling you, until the next to last book, the New 52 universe was not even in it at all.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, once I get done with it, I'll probably start delving into.
I figured
Secret
at
Wars.
Some point, the New 52 universe would have shown up at the end. At the end, and it's not going to change hardly anything.
It's just a segue to the next Earth.
I just love
But I have a theory on Secret Wars,
which is
it's really bad, but it's one that me and him were making fun of. What if Secret Wars, because they're doing this Renew Your Vows with Spider-Man? What if Secret Wars is just a way to make Mary Jane not a bitch anymore?
That's
the
happen.
Ultimate
that'll
secret.
Never happen.
That could
never
be
happen.
The ultimate secret
that
to Secret Wars.
But just imagine that happening at the end of it.
It'd
that's
be the impossible. Very last page. Oh, by the way.
That's a fundamental
this is
part
why.
Of her character.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
I can't see Mary Jane.
Well, like from DC, I read the Harley Quinn trade paperback number 1 from the New 52. And the artwork is absolutely awesome. I love it. So, but it is absolutely random. And half the time you're sitting there going, what?
Most of the stuff in the New 52 is random.
But then again,
random.
It is Harley There's Quinn. Some solid stuff in it there. Is Harley Quinn, so you have to expect
like,
a whole
zero issue. You have to every page was a different artist.
Yeah. Because when I was first reading that, I was like, "What the fuck? What I is mean, this?" You know, because it's all fourth wall stuff.
Yeah,
stuff.
But I mean, all they've used Harley Quinn for. In New 52
is comic relief.
No, is it's DC's Deadpool at this point. And I mean, but
I still liked it.
But not as well written even. Because at least you have Brian
Percy.
She's
got boobs.
Yeah, well,
hey, I got boobs. It doesn't make
Deadpool
me
can too if he really wants. Oh my gosh.
I mean, look, it was absolutely
the Joker, though.
I mean, it was absolutely random and you know, and just like kind of you know what,
talking
but
talking beaver.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's plenty of beaver jokes in that book, which is absolutely hilarious. But man, you know,
it's a bunch of bad jokes and innuendos, you know, and blah blah blah. Yeah.
And Poison Ivy comes in for you know a few issues, and you know, but other than that, I think it's kind of a cool.
But
book.
I mean, it just it wouldn't make sense for them not to have a Harley Quinn book as popular of a character as that
right.
is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised they waited as long as they did.
Yeah, probably. But beyond that. Can I talk some motorcycle stuff just for a quick minute?
No.
No, we already did that.
Yeah,
they already
missed
did all
your
that.
Chance.
Yeah, missed your chance.
We all jumped in and pushed you out of the way.
Right, I mean, everybody was getting bored. That's why I shouted awkward segue.
Awkward?
Plus, this is
awkward, yes.
Hawkwind?
Get
banned.
Okay. Something we missed from last week. We were talking about, wanted to talk about the new DC show. Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Legends of Tomorrow. I saw the trailer for that, and I think...
Have you watched the pilot for Supergirl yet?
Awesome. I've seen the
trailer.
Yeah, the trailer
pilot
for it.
Is spoiled, unofficially been leaked out on torrent sites, so you can watch the entire pilot.
Well, I'm gonna wait.
It is very clearly not a bootleg.
Oh, I'm sure.
This is them spoiling.
I don't want to watch it and then have to and be like, "Ooh, I like this," and have to wait.
Do you think that?
I don't even like waiting a week. Netflix has spoiled me. I don't like waiting a week. I'm not waiting months.
I'll sum it up for you. You ever seen Bridget Jones's Diary?
Yes.
All right. Now imagine she has an alter ego that's Superman.
That's what I figured. That's what I figured it was going to be. But
back to Legends of Tomorrow.
All right, well, Legends of Tomorrow, I think, is going to be a really, you know, cool book because, I mean, just in the trailer, you have Flash, Green Arrow, Firestorm, Captain Cold, Heat Wave, and...
The Atom.
I hope they make Hawk Girl to a point where I can actually like Hawk Girl.
Yeah, and Hawk Girl, so... Yeah,
I don't like Hawk. I don't like Hawk Girl because I don't like Hawkman either. But I'm hoping that this show is actually going. I hope this show is actually going to make it to where I'm going to like Hawk Girl.
Yeah, like but also Hawk, you have to. I mean, if you look at it from this perspective, it almost seems like a DC television DC television version of the Avengers.
Oh my goodness,
she's actually.
It actually seems like that. But it I think it's going to shape up to be really cool because you're going to have all those personality conflicts and and ethics conflicts, you know, because you have villains and heroes fighting side by side.
I think it'll be a good show. I don't think it's going to get the audience that all the other ones have gotten.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope it's better received than Constantine was.
I hope.
I think it's going to be better written. Because
they're
actually giving it
the same studios that are doing all the others.
It's going to be just more of the same as Arrow and Flash. It's just going to be more of the same. It'll do all right.
It's going to be DC 90210.
I just
want to
see they're going to have like Vandal Savage.
But I like Flash. Yeah. I like Arrow. The last season was not like
the
best. But, I mean...
Well, apparently there's a new episode of Arrow coming out next week.
Wow, they've already ended the season.
I don't know. I was watching iZombie last night, and...
They probably accidentally put the wrong promo up.
All right, well...
That happens a lot.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that's what
I
heard.
Because they ended
it
a week before they ended Flash. But, you never know.
Yeah, that's what I heard, so I don't know.
We'll definitely check.
Yeah.
Back to the Walking Dead thing. Has anybody heard anything about when that Fear of the Walking Dead is supposed to come out? It's supposed to be a summer show.
I'm surprised
it hadn't started.
It'll probably come out sometime between hell and high water.
Most summer shows start late May.
Yeah, well,
Game of Thrones is already nearly halfway over.
Well, most of the new shows that are coming out for the summer are coming out in like early to mid June. So it might not come out until June.
Late September.
Speaking of, they're saying August.
They're showing August. Less and less boot that's during the show.
Not a summer show. Well, that's not what I was going to talk about. Speaking of Game of Thrones, did you hear about HBO talking about hunting down all the people who leaked those first four episodes of the new season? Apparently that's a big thing they're actually tracking down and will be. First, I think they even said they'll give like a cease notice slash like kind of like a stop notice, and then if stuff
cease and desist.
Well, it's not even that because I mean it's already happened. Those are leaked in the stuff.
I'm surprised they're not trying to prosecute them.
No, they're going to.
They're going to capture them and torture them like they did in season two.
Yep.
Hey, maybe they should resurrect Joffrey
or season three
and take him into his room.
No, they've got to give him to the giant.
I don't know.
See, I haven't even. I stopped watching the show midway through season two. I read the books. I'm kind of over it.
They can treat them like Theon.
I haven't read the books, and I have the books. I was going to read it, but then I was like, I hate when I read the books and watch the show with other people because I'm like, something's coming up, and I start laughing before it comes up, and they hate it. They hate when we watch something and I figure it out too soon.
I was meaning to ask, how's the con? Because I went to.
We're going next weekend.
It's next weekend.
Okay. Yeah, we're actually really bummed about that because we just
Adam West canceled. Oh. On Sunday night at 11 o'clock, right before a holiday, they announce it that he's not going to be there. Knowing that people are not going to be all over the internet right before the holiday.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get it as low-key as possible.
Well, I went to JaveCon this past Saturday.
Was it good?
Yeah, in Lebanon, Tennessee. Well,
here's the thing. Was it better than doing nothing?
Half and half.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean,
you'd rather sit there and do nothing than go to it?
Well, I mean, honestly, here was the issue. From the way that I've learned about it, I thought it was like their first year doing it, but apparently it's like their third or fourth year doing it. But there was like maybe 100 people there. That was it.
Wow.
You said it was at Columbia University, right?
Or at Cumberland.
Cumberland?
Yeah, Cumberland University in Lebanon.
Over in Lebanon.
Yeah.
I can kind of see. Yeah. It's kind of out of the way.
Yeah. Now, and here's the thing that didn't like make a whole lot of sense to me. All right, it's called JaveCon, short for Japanese Animation Books Entertainment. There was like one vendor there that had like maybe 20 manga books, and that was it. And it was just of random series. There was no specific order to anything. It was just random leftover books, I guess. And there was not a single vendor that had just had shelves and shelves and shelves of manga and TV series, anime.
Goku told me he was coming.
Oh, Goku was there. He was actually in the interview podcast because I got him and Cheshire Cosplay, like two of the attendees, to just do a round.
Which Goku was he? Was he regular Goku? Was he Super Saiyan?
Super
Goku?
Saiyan. Super
Which
Saiyan.
One? Which one? One, two, three, or four?
Oh my gosh.
I
don't know. I don't watch Dragon Ball either.
I think one or two.
Long hair.
Yeah, was it up like this, or was it down?
It was spiky up.
Okay. So, in between every action, did they have to pause for a commercial and cut to next week?
No.
How many grunts did he make?
Anyways.
But was there more than two backgrounds?
Could you close your eyes and sound like a bad boy?
Well, about five episodes just him running down Snake Way.
Did someone come up behind him and kill him? And then they had to wish him back to life?
I know. I would be nice.
Anyways, but the whole interview was about maybe an hour long. It's up on outrightgeekery.com with the pictures that I took. And
did you say next week on DBZ?
No.
Well, then you did it wrong.
But anyways, all right.
Outrightgeekery.com interview.
Yeah, it's
with Goku.
Yeah, with Goku and Cheshire cosplay and two of the attendees. But also there was a guy there in the Analog Gaming Room who was one of the co-writers of this new game called Regnum Angelica. And he was demoing it in the Analog Gaming Room and selling copies. It was actually a really good game. I actually really enjoyed it.
And he was selling copies there?
Yeah. You know, not to brag, but I beat him two games to nothing. So, now the cool
sure
thing
was being nice.
Yeah,
the cool, that's bad.
The cool thing is that it's just a two-player game. But like, it's if you're familiar with Magic the Gathering, then you can pick this up fairly quickly. But like, there's no stat.
Like, talk to me like I've like never played Magic like there's, because I haven't. Right,
each player has a deck of angels, and you know, and kind of in a like spell cards, but they're like the pictures of the angels are different. But
I did play
Yu-Gi-Oh, but some of them have the same abilities. But it's the exact same deck for each player, so no one has like any extra advantage.
What game is this?
Regnum Angelica. So it all depends on like what cards you play at what specific time.
So you have the exact same cards.
Yeah.
It's just when you play them.
It's just luck of the draw when you get them and when you play them.
Yeah.
So it's like war?
But
yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, you actually have to...
I've got a 10. You got a 5. I win!
But you have to move across the board and score
it's
your angels.
It's a colorful war.
Cool. So yeah. It's chess converted from a card game.
So,
but checkers converted.
Yeah, but why would you both have angels? Why wouldn't one of you have demons?
Well, one of them is angels and one of them is demons.
You said you both have angels. And
so
it's the exact same card.
The way he was saying is one side is archangels, which are good. One side is fallen angels.
Okay, there you go. Fallen angels. See?
Yeah,
like so. I said, I didn't play Magic. I played Yu-Gi-Oh! Only because of a video game.
I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is basically watered down Magic.
Yeah, my son had a video game of Yu-Gi-Oh!
When it started.
He said, I can't beat this one person.
Netrunner.
Is it,
but, I got in but, it playing a video game. Yeah,
but, which is also Richard Garfield.
But he was. I think they sold the game for $50, but it only just came out last October. It was funded on Kickstarter, and I think it's a pretty good game.
$50, I want a big, huge game. $50 is a lot of money for a game.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah, but for a startup,
I'm paying 60 for Arkham Knight.
I will say this though: the artwork on the cards that's and on the board game. Is really well.
That's a video game.
Oh, this is a video game.
No, it's a board game.
You said it was a video game.
I said it was a board game. I said it was in that analog room.
Yeah, video games. You end up paying more and getting far less for your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You end up getting something, paying $60 because prices are in an oligopoly. Yes, I actually used that word right. I pronounced that word right. Because everybody wants to charge the same, and they're under contract that they have to charge the same from the manufacturers. And it doesn't matter, so...
Jesse and I had a conversation about this the other night about how the problem with board games is that you, A, have to be able to set aside, like, a
time.
Pretty good amount of time.
Yeah, see, my problem with board games
you have to find the people that
is
also
that I have
want
to play with other people. And I hate playing with other people.
I hate people. So
and the only people I like to play with, it's really hard to get them all in the room
together. Here's what you do.
Well,
last week we were talking about making a sex robot. You make a robot that plays the game with you.
They develop social skills.
They already did that. Video games.
Here's the other thing advantage. Board games don't care how old your TV is. They don't care that you have a new table. They don't mandate that you spend $500 on a table every 3 years.
How many friends you have.
No, well, but they'll come out with new cards
so
and stuff every month.
I will say this about that game. Like, when you first start, it takes a couple rounds to, like, really figure out the mechanics. But once you do, it's just...
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're going to start out with the same type of cards, but then they're going to come out with an expansion pack that you're going to buy, somebody else not going to buy. You're going to have something they don't.
Well, no. I don't think he's coming out with an expansion.
At some point, he's going to have to, or people will
be
bored with it.
But he might, but I don't know. But regardless of
you
that,
you can't
fact,
go 20 years with I had the exact same deck I had well, 20
look,
years what, ago.
But look, well, once, now, once
board,
you play,
board
once
games
you play,
are a little different. It's not going to be something somebody's playing every day like that. Yeah. It's like chess. I mean, chess has had the exact same set of pieces for 10,000 years.
Hey, there's an expansion 3D chess.
Yeah, and
exactly.
And besides, like this game, it takes you have to play it once to like really get the mechanics down. But once you get the mechanics down, you can actually play a game of this in like 30 minutes. You know, plus or minus. So
we can't play board games. They're outlawed at our house. We kill each other over board games.
Yeah.
They hate playing board games with me.
Monopoly that
yes.
started it.
Monopoly.
Yeah.
They hate playing board games with me.
Monopoly's a game.
But look, overall,
there's a reason. There's a reason.
Actually, Monopoly is literally a game made to hate people hate castles.
The problem is, majority of people who are
learning how to save money.
You have two different types of people in board games. You have the type of people that play not to lose.
I'm like,
yeah. And then you have people that play to win.
And
everybody I've played with play not to lose, and I'm cutthroat when it comes to games.
It's like really.
I'm one of those people. They hate that I never let my kids beat me at video games.
But here's what I'm saying: if you have to carry over a game, an intense strategy game where you're ruthless. And you can't drop that when the game ends. That says more about
you. I drop it when the game ends.
Does the
no,
game.
No, no. I drop it when the game ends. My problem is they want to quit halfway through the game.
Well, that shit is annoying.
There you go.
Building up this master plan, and now I'm beating you. And now you want to leave.
Right.
Every time you
here's
play
the
Risk.
Thing.
Oh yes.
Risk.
We cannot play
you
Risk.
You know who's
going
to win halfway through the game.
True. We have a friend that brings over Risk.
I hate that one.
We
you
have a
see
friend.
Risk can destroy friendships and relationships.
It almost did destroy friendship. A friend of ours came over to our house. He brought over Risk, which we played with him before. I didn't want to play because every time I play with him, there's
the rules
something.
Change.
It's always rule change. So I said, okay, Heather wants to play you. So y'all play one-on-one. I noticed that he was constantly, every turn, getting 40 and 50 new people and then telling her, no, you can have two. And I'm like, I look up the rules exactly. He's like, this is the rules to it. And I pull it up and I said, these are the rules by the website, what it says they are. Oh, nobody plays that way. I said, obviously, that's the way you're supposed to play it. So most people play it that way.
He's always just trying to get an edge up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one
now,
time
the,
we went
when
all
we,
against him
when we all played it, we played it. It was four, you know, all, four of us against each other. I didn't want to win. He set it up for himself to win. Basically what I did was I set it up for her to win. So I took out part of his stuff, but then said, I'm going to let her take out everything else I have so she can build up so big there's nothing he can do about it.
Yeah.
And he got so mad. Oh, we got to do 1v1, 1v1. I'm like, you realize 1v1 means nothing. Because when you 1v1 in Risk, you're supposed to have two other non-playable characters in there.
Yeah.
He don't want to play that way because then she could build up against that.
Exactly.
He wants him to have half the board and slowly take over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, he'll take turn after turn after turn after turn after turn during his round.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to your turn, you have no place.
That's what I don't
go.
Like about Risk.
I don't get
unlimited amount of turns until you lose. I don't like that.
Yeah,
you lose,
I don't
you're done.
Like, yeah, I don't like
no,
when people play like
that's
that.
That's not how that works.
Yes, it is. Until you run out of people.
Until you run
you
out of
people.
You
can keep doing it.
You can lose, but not run out of people.
But he would put 30 people
you
on one spot and go,
that's
I'm
not
gonna
a
keep,
good strategy.
He's like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going until I win. I'm going to keep going until I win. Keep going. Eventually, he's going to win the role. 30 times, he's going to win eventually.
Yeah, statistics.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's
what I like.
Strategy, though.
If you played where I roll against you, if you win and I lose, I shouldn't be able to roll against that country unlimited amount of times till I beat you. That's what I don't like about
it.
Yeah,
the way that I play is like anytime
it's
I roll.
Killing people. It's, you know, it's killing your little dudes.
Yeah, but eventually you're going to win.
That's what
statistically,
right. Yeah.
You're going to win.
That's how war works.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah,
I know
that's
that.
Why everybody's afraid of China.
But when
they've got the equivalent to 30 million people
but
there,
when you have, but when you have 20,
eventually, they will just.
Yeah, but
when you have 20 countries to yourself and have that, you can keep rolling for an hour, and everybody else is sitting there. It's so boring.
Yeah, and
I don't
understand, but this is a board game.
Okay,
it's a board game.
Here's the problem. This is also a board game designed 50 plus years ago. All right, there's been great technological advances in board games since then.
And plus, you have access
to play and
great technological advances in war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time you open a thing, no one fights with cannons anymore.
Why doesn't somebody just take their fist and just drop it on the board?
No one fights with cannons anymore. All it is mainly infantry soldiers, tanks, and drones. That's it. And not even really tanks that much anymore.
So, you know, if you play Monopoly, check out Power Grid. It's a lot more balanced of a game, a lot better game. Definitely worth checking out. There are several versions of Axis and Allies, that even smaller and faster versions that are a little more fair, a little more balanced than Risk. There are tons and tons of great games out there. There's tons of great social games out there that are good party games. Machi Kuro, Sheriff Nottingham, Smash Up is a great game. Small World, and of course, Settler of Catan is a good basic game. That it's an intro to
Forbidden Island.
And that's a cooperative game. I'm not a big fan of those. Yeah. but if you want a game,
because you want to win,
right? I want to win. I'm that guy. Yeah. I want to win. I want to smash opponents. Cooperative games aren't for me.
Good.
But Forbidden Island and Pandemic are both good cooperative games. Yeah.
And, like, two games that I really like for party games, is Betrayal at House on the Hill.
That is a good party game.
And what was that?
See, if you're in a cooperative game.
I just lost my train
and
of thought.
You don't want to be a cooperative player, you just tell the other player. You let me tell you what you're going to do when you're turn.
Oh, Last Night on Earth. That's another good party game.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. But
it is that time.
Okay.
So, final thoughts. Adam,
has it been that long?
Yeah, apparently.
It just don't feel like it's been that long.
I think that was a good final thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one. Right.
Final thoughts.
This was shitty.
I got two things. First, my friend Brooklyn.
Well, it's one final thought.
Yeah.
Final thought, not final thought.
Yeah.
You always rant on
final thought.
I'm timing you.
Don't be like DC and say it's the final crisis.
Shut up. I'll say it.
All right. Everybody quiet.
Fuck. All right. Brooklyn, my friend, she's going to MomoCon up in Ohio. I think Sandusky, Ohio. So I just wanted to say hi to her. And then.
That's final thought.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to talk about, you know, that motorcycle news, but y'all didn't want to let me talk about it.
Can you sum it up in 30 seconds?
I test rode the Triumph Thunderbird over at Castle Motorsports.
Yay, nay.
Oh, definitely yay. I mean, the only thing you need to tighten up is, like, the throttle play and tighten up the clutch cable a little bit, and other than that, it's great.
I don't know.
Suspension is awesome. Engine is awesome. If you're going to buy a big boy bike, that's the one you need to buy.
Cool.
So
5 seconds.
Castle Motorsports has them. So.
Awesome.
And scene.
Jules, quit your job, and good night, Elaine.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Elaine.
Not sorry.
Not sorry.
Not sorry at all.
Okay, I'd say New Deadly Class came out. That's one of the better books I've read recently. You should be reading it. If you're not, you're fucking dumb. That's our one F-bomb of the day. Yes!
No, second.
Terrible. Nah, second F-bomb.
Third.
No.
All right, I'm done.
Shitty Crisis.
It's kind of hard to top Shitty Crisis. It's really Shitty hard Crisis. To top.
All right, I don't know. I think I like Superman Push It.
That was the preview bullet point. Remember? It was Shitty Crisis.
So much dick.
So much dick. Shitty Crisis, so much dick, and Superman pushes it.
And that's the bullet points. There we go. All
right. And if you're still listening, I'm quite amazed.
I just want to say congratulations to Amanda and Ryan for bringing their baby home from the hospital. We're happy for you guys, and congrats. And
yep.
Ryan, come visit us occasionally. Amanda, you too.
Check out the Secret Wars. That last comeback they had was really good.
I'm just going to wait for the trade to come out.
It was
out.
Really good.
That's going to be an expensive trade.
Well, yeah. come visit us here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. Come check us out online, comiccity2.com, outrightgeekery.com.
You're having a hard time speaking today.
I am. I really am.
Were you out drinking last night?
No.
Were you drinking this morning?
I was at home drinking.
I spent every free minute I've had for the past month either packing, rebuilding, and just so exhausted.
Or drinking Irish coffee.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yeah, so.
Why the hell would I waste whiskey by diluting it with coffee?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Love it.
Good whiskey is good to drink alone.
I don't drink whiskeys, though. I don't drink coffee.
Now, all right. Now, if you
it's either bourbon or the rocks or nothing, I teach you nothing.
I don't like it on the rocks.
Fair enough.
I don't like it on the rocks. All right, look, straight out of the freezer.
Yeah. Now, look, I do not like drinking whiskey or bourbon on ice. Okay, because ice dilutes it down, and I don't like that. If I'm going to drink it, I'm going to drink it straight in a glass with no ice.
Hey, I'm a vodka girl. That's all I can say.
All right, now
give her half the cup, and she's gone already.
All right, now here's the real question. When it comes to Irish bourbon or Irish whiskey, what is your whiskey?
Irish whiskey?
I don't know if I actually like Irish whiskey.
All right, well, fine. Whiskey or bourbon, just whatever brand.
Clearly I prefer bourbon. Baker's Mark and Wild Turkey, I go back and forwards.
I'm a big Jameson fan, personally.
Jameson's okay, but I prefer Glenlivet, and technically that's a Scotch.
I was technically raised on Jack, so that's a drink.
I can't deal with Jack.
A Jack's okay, but I mean
it's overrated.
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, Jameson gets a lot of a lot of credit for being an Irish whiskey,
bird.
But the best-selling whiskey in Ireland is Jack Daniel's.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
When I went to Germany, someone gave me a Jack Daniel's armband, and
when I went to Germany, it was cheaper to get a bottle of Jack Daniel's there than it is to get it here, where it's made.
Exactly.
That's well, strange.
An hour and a half from taxes. Them.
That's the thing. Because of the bootleggers still essentially are the ones that controlled the legalization of manufacturing. It's very regulated in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
The manufacturers can't sell directly to the public.
Except for
tourism, bottles. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dry county.
Lynchburg.
That's the only place. Yeah,
right. Lynchburg
Jack
is in a dry county.
A special exception. They can sell souvenirs with alcohol in them.
Yeah.
But they can sell food with alcohol in it, and God bless them, they figured out how to work Jack into everything.
Everything.
Including
barbecue sauce.
Ice cream, it's awesome.
Wait, hold on. All right, say that one more time. What?
If you've never gotten drunk eating ice cream, it's awesome.
Yeah.
That explains
it. I bet that is so great. You can't really tell. All
right, and we're done here, I think.
You can't really tell what you're doing anything.
I'm done.
You're eating it. Yeah. You slowly get drunk off of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Did Larry stop the recording?
No, it's still going. No,
let's talk about anything.
Yeah. This is the After the Podcast podcast. Yeah. If you're still listening, you're hardcore, brother.
Wow. Where did that come from? Holy crap.
I'm sorry. Right. They're selling some commemorative thing for WrestleMania, and I saw Hulk Hogan on it.
Of course
and
they are.
It was crazy.
Yeah, all right, well. All right, well, I guess since it's still going, all right, the bike that I rode was the Triumph Thunderbird. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with it...
Yeah, the only bike I want to hear is how's your bike coming that you're making?
Oh, the one that I'm building?
That's the only thing I want to hear about.
Oh, all right. I got the oil seals, the O-rings, and the piston rings the other day. I have the center half getting ready to slap the center cases back together. But unfortunately, I forgot to order the new case bolts.
Ugh.
So I have to order the case bolts because the originals are just so rusty. See, I do not want to run the risk
of
using
that's
those.
What we need every week is an update on how you're coming along with bike.
All right. Well, I got to order the case bolts. And apparently, I took the cylinder up here to Castle Motorsports. Now, my guy Robert that I generally talk to, he talked to the guys back there because they were going to bore it over because I got the piston.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the 25 over piston that I got for it is not big enough, so I have to send it back and get the 50 over.
Oh, goodness.
So that way they can bore it out, you know, because it's just the cylinder's just so rusty.
Yeah.
So I have to send it back, get the 50 over, get those rings, and I have to order the case bolts. So once I get that, I'm once I order, you know, send that back and get and have those ordered up, then I'll be good to go with putting a lot of the, you know, putting it practically all back together. But I figure since I have to order all that, I'm just going to go ahead and order the valve train too, because I got to get new valve guides, new valves, new valve springs, new keepers. I mean, I have to pretty much order a whole new valve.
How long have you been working on this?
Well, I mean, just
off and on. But how long have you been like been doing it?
Like total time, maybe like a week.
No, I mean like span of time.
Maybe a month and a half.
Month and a half. That's
yeah,
all.
Two months. Yeah. I mean, me and my buddy Nate. You know, I got him to come over one Sunday, and we were just sitting in the garage drinking beer and eating pizza and taking the bike apart, and. Like, it was still a complete bike. We took the whole thing apart and got the frame out of the motor. Or
the motor out of the frame.
Yeah, the motor. Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, the motor out of the frame. And we pretty much got the whole thing busted down in, like, a day. But, like, all, like, you know, taking the motor out of the frame, you know, in little bits and pieces here and there. I mean, total time is, like, 2.5 days.
Yeah, but I mean, doing it off and on here and there when you get the money, you know.
And I've had to order a lot of new parts. I mean, I just ordered the front wheel. And let's see, I ordered the front wheel.
And now I'm going to hit the stop recording button.
Bye, everybody. Bye, all you hardcore listeners.
All right, yeah.
We love you.
We'll update about the bike project next week.